Zuma, Zuma, bacala. And boy, we got some bacala in the White House, huh? Whew! What a trip, what a trip. You know, it's astounding. You know, I was yesterday at the dentist. I'm talking to you, one of the women there, and very smart. And she can't talk with her family anymore. People are so divided, my God. Friends can't talk to friends. Nation's never been more divided than this in my lifetime. Where's it heading? The Clinton hasn't stopped going after Trump. I mean, you want to talk about a sore loser, Marone. She was at Wellesley last week, just carrying on. And the crowd applauding her. Oh, yeah, you know, that's too bad. She's not around anymore. Yep. She gives the line in the story in the New York Times coverage. She spoke in April at the Woman in the World event in New York, admitting that she was devastated after the defeat and was still trying to figure out why having a female president had seemed so threatening to so many people. What a bunch of crap. How about having a warmonger in the White House with blood on her hands carried over from Dirty Slick Willie's hands, who slaughtered all those people in Iraq and started the Yugoslav War and are voting for the Afghan War, pushing for the destruction of Libya? And everybody could see the video when they asked her, how did she feel when Muammar Gaddafi was murdered, sodomized with swords, knives. We came, we saw, he died. Yeah, where's the straitjacket? Has nothing to do with being a woman. How about you being a disgusting human being? Could you handle that one, Hitlery? They keep making this, they're dividing this nation with gender, race, and religion. She says to the crowd, cheering, they keep saying, how are these young kids with cheering? Yeah, you're cheering your murderers, you hypocritical liberals. And I know, oh, you people that won't eat, I'm a vegan, you know. Yeah, you like those GMOs that the Clintons gave you, huh? GMOs mean F you, man. What do you think they get all this dough for the Clinton Foundation for? It's called payback. Oh, yeah, why they don't have a woman when you get all that dough you got from Saudi Arabia, the most women-hating nation in the world. Boy, good thing they don't allow women to drive cars, boy. Ooh. Yep. You may have heard that things didn't exactly go the way I planned, she said. But you know what? I'm doing okay. The audience cheered, both for her and perhaps themselves. That's the way the New York Times editorialized it. Perhaps themselves. So you're having a rough time. I got my own life to live. You lost the election. What, do you want me to still be crying because you're still crying? This coverage is disgusting. Yep. The graduates at Wellesley, Miss Clinton's alma mater, cheered her thunderously and treated her like a returning hero. I thought as a hero was a sandwich that you bought. Well, best heroes we got when I was growing up in Yonkers was Landy's on Willow Street. Anybody that grew up in Yonkers knows about Landy's. Oh man, hero. That was a real hero. Hero? What hero? What has she done to be a hero? What has she done to be a hero? How about showing me your track record, all right? Could you handle that, anybody? A hero. A Hitlery. A murderer. Oh, yeah, and the woman card, right. Samantha Power and Susan Rice. And Condoleezza Rice. I forgot that. Oh, and Madeleine Albright. Oh, all those lovely, lovely, murderous women. They're terrific. What stupidity. What hypocrisy. You know, I was talking about race, creed, and color. What we're looking at happening now is a religious war is building up. And there's no question about it. This anti-Islamist movement. Put yourself in their place. You're a Muslim kid in a Muslim world that's been destroyed by slimers like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, David Cameron, Tony Blair, George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. You're living in filth and poverty. You didn't do anything. Your family didn't do anything. Nobody did anything to anybody. And your country was invaded, destroyed, and occupied by a foreign nation. Bullies. We got more guns, bigger guns. And could outkill you 1,000,000 to 1. Because those are about the odds. So here you are, you're this young kid. Your life stinks. And so does everyone around you. You think you're going to be radicalized. You think you want to get even. And then they make fun of you because you're a Muslim. You know, I have to hand it. Anyway, going back to the war, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at, I am the only person that I know that has been saying this, and this is Crusades 2000. That's all this is. It's the 10th Crusade. I've been writing about it in the Trends Journal. In my books, Trends 2000, in the Trends Alerts, and Trends in the News Broadcasts, I began writing about it in 1993. That's all this is. It's the 10th Crusade. Think about it. Think about when 9/11 happened. And everybody, you know, George Bush comes out, we're going to invade Afghanistan. No proof about anything. Outlined it in the Trends Journal, his entire speech to the nation 9 days later. Now, one fact is a man by the name of Osama bin Laden. And if you don't grow your beard long enough, you could go to jail. I'm not making that up. And they won't let you watch the TV shows you want. You don't watch the stupid crap that we have on. And that was our reason for invading Afghanistan. Anyway, what happens? Everybody ties yellow ribbons around everything that can't move and waves their American flags. And young men, mostly, sign up to go fight for their country, fight and die. Oh, and the presidents, like Obama and all the rest, they call that when you die in an illegal war, and more importantly, an immoral war, they call that the ultimate sacrifice.
Isn't that nice?
Nope. Now let's go to the religious wars, and now we're going to talk about the real ultimate sacrifice. When you fight religious wars, the martyrs will fight for the God that they believe in. And their reward is heaven, wherever that may be, and whatever the trip is. Whatever it might be. So religious wars are fought even at levels far beyond the fighting for a national cause, because you got a happy ending when you die fighting for the God that you believe in. So that, quote, radicalizes events much, much more. I have to hand it to that guy Corbyn over there in the UK, running against Theresa May for the Prime Minister of the UK. The election's coming up shortly. And he essentially said, after the Manchester bombing, that it's blowback. Yep. UK foreign policy would change under Labour government to one that, quote, reduces rather than increases the threat to the country, Jeremy Corbyn said. He said many experts had linked the UK involvement in wars abroad to terrorism at home. You got it. As we used to say in the Bronx, payback's a bitch. Kill him over there, he'll kill you over here. Mind your own business. No, we got to fix Libya. We need that broccoli crop they got there. Oh, no, couldn't have been the oil. Of course, I think like under a dollar to pull it out of the ground. 10th largest oil reserves in the world. The sweetest of sweet crudes. One of the richest nations in Africa, or was the richest. Till Hillary, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, and Obama, the arrogant liar Obama, destroyed the country and turned it into a hellhole. Hey, I wonder where all them refugees are coming from. So in response, Boris Johnson, or is it Boris Karloff, what a freaky little clown he is, the foreign secretary. How about from a foreign alien world? He said it was absolutely monstrous that the Labour leader had attempted to justify or legitimize the actions of terrorists. Absolutely monstrous that you don't swallow my crap. Absolutely monstrous that you don't believe that murdering millions of people and destroying the lives of the young people forever, they want to kill you. Can you get that in your head? Oh, how about an eye for an eye? Oh, how about do unto others as you'd have do unto you? No, no, no. Yep. Yep. Corbyn went on to say an informed understanding of the causes of terrorism is an essential part of an effective response that will protect the security of our people, that fights rather than fuels terrorism. Yep. Got it. I've been saying this for how long? Gary Null, others, we all know this. Yep. Corbyn said many experts, including professionals in our intelligence and security services, have pointed out the connections between wars that we have been involved in or supported or fought in other countries and terrorism here at home.
Duh, really? I think we need to do a study on this.
Yep. No kidding. Again, we've only been writing about this now for a couple of years. Oh, and by the way, if anybody would like to call in, the number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And of course, if you're interested in the Trends Journal, History Before It Happens, again, just told you about Crusades 2000. We're the only ones that talked about it, still talk about it. That's it, only us. TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com to subscribe to the Trends Journal and the latest editions going out on Saturday. That's right, you'll have it then. And of course, beyond the Trends Journal, we do Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night. If you want a sampling of those, you could go on to YouTube, Gerald Celente. We put up one a week, but we do five a week. Trend alerts, trend alert, trend alert. And Trends Monthly. Trends Monthly is going out tomorrow. So just think about it. Tomorrow you get a Trends Monthly. Saturday you get a Trends Journal. All for $99 a year. That's it. And hard copies, 185, 80, 80, 60 pages, excuse me. 60 pages of Trends, not one advertisement, full color. No magazine like it in the world, money back guarantee. TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com, or you can call 845-331-3500. 845-331-3500. So, moving on with war, things are heating up over there in the South China Sea as the United States keeps getting closer to those disputed islands, goes within 12 miles. 12-mile limit is the international regulation or law, whatever it's called. You're supposed to stay 12 miles away, but the United States, freedom of the seas. So we're testing China now. Yemen has collapsed. The warnings are out. The country is in dire straits over 15,000 dead people, and now, unfortunately, you're saying over 10 million in starvation mode conditions. Now a cholera epidemic is sweeping the country. And the United States, as you well know, just sent more weapons to our wonderful allies, the Saudis. Yeah. Yeah, the beheaders in chief started that war that the United States is supporting. Yep. Oh, that terrible Trump selling those weapons. It's disgusting. It is. As disgusting as Obama's. Yeah, but Trump sold them $110 billion worth. Yeah, I know. Obama beat him, $115 billion. But we're not going to talk about that because we're Democrats, we're liberals, we're hypocrites. Our murderer is okay. We don't like your murderer. Murder, Inc. That's all it is. So, other hot points to watch, man. What's going on in Venezuela and Brazil? Ready to, it's exploded already. It's exploded already. And by the way, all you folks out there that think the dysfunction and the riots going on in Venezuela are primarily the doings of the United States, you might want to note something that I found quite interesting. The big news, it's not really big news, but that Goldman Sachs just bought about $3 billion worth of Venezuelan bonds. That's right. You know, in essence, they're hoping to prop up the sinking economy. And boy, oh boy, did the opposition go nuts on that one. Yep. Goldman Sachs Group is on the defensive as Venezuela after it bought bonds that had been held by the struggling country's central bank in a transaction the government's opposition decried as a lifeline to President Maduro's embattled administration. Goldman's purchase of $2.8 billion in bonds, first reported by the Wall Street Journal on Sunday, comes as Mr. Maduro's detractors have recently pleaded with international financial institutions to avoid any transactions that might help a government accused of human rights abuses. So, for those conspiracy theorists that say the United States is behind the disruptions in Venezuela, I say maybe, but the joint is going down, man. Their major export is oil. And oil prices, we're in June, huh? So let's go back. June, this is June 2017. Let's go back 3 years ago in June. Back then, what was oil selling for a barrel? Well, let's try $115 a barrel. That's right. What's oil selling for now? $49 a barrel. What's Venezuela's major export? Oil. Economic crisis. Is the CIA behind it? How about people that are living lousy lives, inflation skyrocketing, numbers as high as 700%? Yep. So, Goldman Sachs, you know, it's only about money. And so, if the United States is really behind this, the Goldman Sachs gang would not have been allowed to do that. This is a bottom line issue, man. And again, you look at the numbers. I mean, and it's not only Venezuela. Well, the commodity prices are down. You're looking at iron ore taking a hit, copper prices down. You know, so it's and copper, by the way, as we keep mentioning over and over again, is Dr. Copper, they call it, because China, of course, buys some 40% of all the copper being produced each year. So if China's not buying and building and iron ore, those kind of things, you see that the numbers going down because those economies are weak. And of course, last week, Moody's downgraded China's debt rating. So putting it all together, religious wars built on economic turmoil as well. So again, you can look beyond Venezuela, take a trip to Bahrain. Yeah, you'll see the American Fifth Fleet over there. Isn't it nice we're way over there? Yeah, we got to be there because we got to protect our allies, like the Saudis, our good friends, the beheaders. Well, things aren't going so well over there. They're having riots. The majority of the population there is Shia, but is being run by Sunnis. So things are out of hand there. All of these oil-rich nations are going to be hit in one way or another, or oil-dependent in terms of, you know, they have a role there in Bahrain with all their oil money around them. You're going to see more and more riots, civil wars spreading beyond the countries where they're developing. Bahrain forces clashed with Shia Muslim protesters, killing 5 people and wounding hundreds in a flare-up of a confrontation. The Sunni monarchy and majority Shia population activists and Amnesty International said. Flare-ups of a confrontation between the Sunni monarchy and majority Shia population. Bahraini forces fired tear gases and birdshot at the protesters. Bahrain is an important U.S. ally, our ally. They're going to come to our rescue if anything happens, man. That is our ally. We need them Bahrainians. Yeah, you know what a Bahrainian looks like. Bahrain, an important U.S. ally, hosts the U.S. Fifth Fleet, the force that patrols shipping channels around the Arabian Peninsula. Bum-ba-da-bum. Tensions between Bahrain's monarchy and rest of Shia population have been boiling over since 2001, when the authorities put down Arab Spring demonstrations. Boy, that's how long ago the Arab Spring happened. So think of the language here. Tensions between Bahrain's monarchy. Monarchy, how about a dictatorship? Could anybody handle that? Yeah, we got to stop them Iranians, I tells you. They just had an election. 70% of the people voted. But our great allies in Bahrain, they have no elections, don't have them in United Arab Emirates don't have them in Saudi Arabia. I'm not positive about the United Arab Emirates, but I would guess, but positive about Saudi Arabia and, of course, Bahrain. Any country that calls itself a monarchy, you know, it's being ruled by the king. The king. A lousy, slimy dictator. Oh, no, Salenti. God ordained him the king. He used to be a frog until the princes kissed him. Then he became a king. Because that's how BS the crap is. So you can see where this is going. Goes back to hitting on the economy. And again, the Trump rally is now going into its seventh month. Stocks are down a bit today, but the Dow's still well over 20,000. The NASDAQ, over 6,000. You know my forecast with gold. They're going to raise interest rates, it looks like, two more times. The higher interest rates go, the lower the price of gold. I'm mentioning this because gold is a safe haven commodity. Yes, it will be under pressure when the dollar gets stronger, because interest rates, higher interest rates mean higher opportunity costs of holding a non-interest-bearing precious metal such as gold. However, it's also a safe haven commodity. As are, by the way, we're seeing with a number of the cryptocurrencies. So what do we got? Boiling up in the South China Sea. You don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. Every week it's another missile test. The United States sending more aircraft carriers there. Tensions keep building. The populist movements. Yep, didn't happen in France, but it looks like it's gaining strength in Italy, Austria, Hungary, we already see it, and other European nations. You keep going up and down the list. Poof. Tensions between nuclear-armed Pakistan and India are escalating. The list goes on. Then, back in the States, what's going on? The nation has never been more divided. And we have the wildest of wild cards, the Trump card, that could be played at any time. You never know what this cat's going to do or say that could cause an equity market meltdown. We are estimating now the market's going to retract up to 10%. With a Trump wild card played or some other type of wild card, we're looking at crash conditions. Because of the volatility, the global nomic volatility that we're discussing. So again, we do not give financial advice, but as we speak again, you know, gold is now, you know, in the $1,270 range. It's staying above $1,250. That's very important. We still believe it has a downside risk of $100 at least. But that's a small downside considering that it cost about $1,100 to pull it out of the ground on average. The upside, once it breaks over $1,400 an ounce, we see it going to $2,000. We got David from Brooklyn. Hey, David, how you doing?
Yes, thank you very much. I want to tell you how much I enjoy your program. It's one of the best programs on the air. And I have a question. You know, during the Cultural Revolution and China was under communism, and I guess after 1975 it changed, and it seems like it's a hybrid economy now with I hear about all these hundreds of billionaires and what they're doing in terms of production. I'm just wondering how it got to the point where they were at a low point during the Cultural Revolution, say, and now you have hundreds of billionaires. What happened? Did these people steal state enterprises or something? Or what went on there?
Well, nothing's ever straight, you know. It has a lot of angles to it. Let's go back to when it happened, really. It began, you go back 20 years ago, which isn't ancient history.
Yes.
The Chinese debt level, corporate and government, was about $500 billion. I mentioned that Moody's just downgraded their debt. It's at $30 trillion now. A lot of it has to do with, as it happens in all places, in all levels, corruption is obviously a big part of it. And when you're in with the in crowd, you got a better shot at, you know, becoming the multimillionaire or billionaire. That's a big part of it. The corruption scandals in China are real, and they're you know, the country is always trying to clamp down on them. It's the party that's in power. You see, David, the business of China is business. The business of America is war. Remember Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces in World War II.
Yes.
And, of course, two-term president warns us that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, sweat of the laborers, and future of the children. So China is money-focused. Now, where is it going? They may have a... It's going the way it's going again because of, I mentioned the debt levels. The debt levels skyrocketed, and China's GDP, along with it, skyrocketed. 2 weeks, it began to skyrocket. 2 weeks after 9/11. That's when no one was watching anything other than 9/11, and they allowed China into the World Trade Organization. That changed the entire game.
I see.
So it's just business, and you're going, because it's government controlled, so many of these big enterprises are government businesses.
So they
and they'll have some of them aren't, but others just are fronts. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
They have communism and capitalism at the same time. Some enterprises are run by the government, communists, and they also have capitalism.
You got it. And even to call them communists, you know, it's just a gang. Just like in America, they like to call them the Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
Oh, they like to call this a democracy. How about the Bloods and the Crips in the police state? What democracy? You know, they're having an election coming up in Chile. You know how many candidates they got on the slate? 18. We got a choice between two. Oh, no,
you got
Joe.
It.
We have other ones. Yeah, how come they don't allow them on the debates that are controlled by the corporate media? So what I'm saying is call this a democracy. Let's call it a joke. How about calling it a neo neo-feudal society where you have different rules for the political nobility and the financial elite, as we saw with not one head rolling under the Obama administration on Wall Street when he promised they would. How about all these criminal acts by Obama, Bush's, Clinton's, Condoleezza Rice, Samantha Powers, their murderous, lying, immorality of murder? Nobody ever gets called up on it. So going back to China, don't call it communism. Call it the business mafia.
I got it. I got it, yes. Yeah, I have another question. I think we have to be very careful in terms of what we call allies. Oh. Because you mentioned allies, a lot of these countries that we're dealing with are not necessarily allies. I remember 1967 in that war over there in the in Israel and Palestine with the USS Liberty, the American ship, where the Zionist government of Israel killed, I believe, 31 sailors and tried to sink American intelligence ship. And they weren't successful at doing that. I think they had nearly 200 casualty American servicemen were casualties. And nothing happened. There was no congressional investigation. It was kept quiet, and that was the end of it. Whereas before that, when the North Koreans captured the American intelligence ship that was off its coast, and nobody was killed by the North Koreans, I think there were big investigations by the government and Congress and so forth. So I think we have to be very careful of who we call our allies, you know, like the people
and
I'm
again,
talking about.
If something
Saudi
happens
royals.
To America, who's going to come over there and fight for us? It's not allies, it's business. And again, this whole Israel thing, you know, I mean, you know, God was a real estate agent, the Bible was a land deed, and, you know, the world began with them. Yeah, and where I got a kick out of it, they just found these fossils that you may have heard about that cast doubt on the lineage because they kept saying it originates in Africa. And the fossils from Greece and Bulgaria, they found that they did live 7.2 million years ago. 7.2 million years ago. Oh, no, it began around 4,000, 5,000 B.C. You know, yeah, before that, there was nothing ever. You know, and God gave us this. I mean, what a bunch of baloney all this is. And again, it's all hypocrisy. It's all war. You know, when people say to me, my God, look at the craziness that's going on. I say, how's your family doing? What's going on in your family? Is every family that you know running just smooth? Or is there a lot of turmoil there? And people still not talking to people, because all this is an extended family. And when you look at religions that are dominant now, you want to talk about the extended family, man. Woof! They come from some lineage. All these cats are connected, and the craziness that goes with it at the extreme ends, it's all coming from basically, you know, just a few families. I mentioned before about the Shia and the Sunnis. Well, they're fighting about something about what happened about 2,000 years ago or something? About, you know, who believes in what happened to who? So it's insanity. So the only thing as I see it is for people to do the best that they can do on a personal level. Yes. And that's really where it begins and ends to me.
Yes.
Is how you treat other people, first starting with yourself. How do you treat yourself? Are you living to the highest potentials that you can live to? Are you practicing what you preach? Are you putting your money where your mouth is? Are you eating healthy? Are you in the best physical, emotional, and spiritual state you could be in? Because until those questions are answered and the actions are taken, man, no change happening anywhere. Just more dysfunction, as I see it. Again, the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. And that's what people aren't doing right now. So, again, and by putting your money where your mouth is, please do what you can to support Progressive Radio Network and the products that Gary Null, those high-quality products that you cannot find hardly anywhere else. And, of course, you know, the Trends Journal, if you want to see and read history before it happens. So putting your money where your mouth is, you know, we're not talking about a lot of dough here. And so do what you can in the best ways that you can to make the positive changes that you can. But again, it begins at home. And the home, as I see it, is in the heart of each individual. You know, we're wrapping up now. So thank you very much, David. And thank you all the other callers. But I just want to move on to a couple of things in closing up. Because we're at, again, I want to emphasize that we believe we're at a critical stage right now. The anti-Russian sentiments, the hysteria, we've never seen in our lifetimes. This is at worse than, I believe, Cold War levels in many ways. And in speaking about the Cold War, there were two people that tried their best to stop it. One of them, of course, was Eisenhower. He really did to the level he could. And he was just heating up over there. But he was a military guy. And yeah, he did a lot of things that people don't like what he did, but he also was very responsible in many ways of working for peace. The other piece is of interest is to go to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts' website, paulcraigroberts.org. And he has a couple of articles in there, columns, that to me are very, very important in looking at the anti-Russian sentiments and the Cold War that's being reheated. One of them is May 30th, Van Cliburn, America's Greatest Diplomat. This is by Paul Craig Roberts. The Cold War could have ended in 1958 when Van Cliburn won the piano competition in Moscow. Van Cliburn was overwhelmed with Russian applause and his stage with the profusion, applause and his stage with the profusion of flowers. The judges asked Khrushchev if they were permitted to award the prize to the American. Khrushchev asked, "Was he the best?" "Yes," replied the judges. "Then give him the prize," said the Soviet leader. Khrushchev achieved de-state Stalinization of Russia and worked with U.S. President John F. Kennedy to defuse the Cuban Missile Crisis. Their cooperation opened an end to the Cold War. However, hardliners in both countries moved both leaders from office, thus condemning the world to the ever-present risk of nuclear Armageddon. Thanks to the insane U.S. governments of the post-Reagan era, the risk is higher than ever. That's one of the articles, and it goes on. There's another article as well. JFK was a traitor to the national security state. Very, very informative article. It's by Jacob Hornberger. And it shows how Kennedy was trying to make peace. And by the way, I have a photograph of me and John Connally. John Connally was the governor of Texas. And he was sitting in front of JFK when he was assassinated. And Connally took the bullet in the back. He almost died, went through his lung, his hand, his knee, and through his Stetson hat. I have a photo of me, John Connally, may rest in peace, and his wife, may she rest in peace, in front of the Dallas Book Depository. It's right here in my office. It was their first time back since the assassination. First time back. And we were parked out in front. We see the where the Oswald allegedly killed him from. And I say allegedly. Let's just keep it at that. That's the side of the building. We were parked out in the front in a limousine, and he started telling the story of what happened that day. Tell the story another time. But as we walked back into the Anatole Hotel after the meeting, after the trip to the book depository, he looked at me and he said, "Gerald, I read your book." My book at the time that came out was Trend Tracking. Far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine. He said, "It's a real fine piece of work." And he said, "I know your heart's in the right place. But you don't have a clue what's going on." Because if you did, you know, he said, "You don't have a clue what's going on, and neither do the American people. Because if they did, there'd be a revolution in this country." So I'm going back to JFK. I'm going back to Paul Craig Roberts. The deep state is real. It's the, as Craig Roberts commented, JFK was a traitor to the national security state. And that's who's in control at a lot of levels. And it's global. So it's really up to people to do what they can to occupy peace. Because if we don't, we're going to see where this is going. And it's not going to be a happy ending. Except for those martyrs who believe, "Whew, I'd be in heaven. And God's waiting for me because I died for him, her, or whatever image you put it in." So I would also encourage you again to go to drpaulcraigroberts.org. I respect him highly. Matter of fact, when we launched Occupy Peace here back in 2015 in Colonial Kingston, New York, Paul Craig Roberts was here. And he doesn't travel anywhere. He was Ronald Reagan's former assistant treasury secretary. Along, of course, with Gary Null to kick it off. OccupyPeace.us, because it's only about us. OccupyPeace.us. So this is going in a very, very dangerous way. So please do what you can to help change the direction we're heading in. Because it's very clear, the signs are all there. Again, it's bigger than the United States. It's India and Pakistan. It's North Korea. New sanctions the Senate's putting on Iran. And they keep coming after Iran, calling them the greatest terror threat in the world. Of course, they're not. But they're making it sound like that. So it's really very important right now, because we're also going to start seeing destabilization escalate in the United States. Wait till this summer happens. What if there's another police shooting of an unarmed black person? An innocent person. Want to see some riots break out? The stock markets are at a tenuous place right now. Again, one wild Trump card could change the game instantly. And when all else fails, they take you to war. Go back to 9/11. The United States was in a recession. Bush's popularity rating was plummeting. The dunce-in-chief. And all of a sudden, after 9/11, it went up to over 90%. 90%. So, the future is in your hands. Again, it starts at home and with the individual. I have a definition for hell. Taking that last breath and knowing you weren't the person you said you were or could have been. And again, think for yourself. That's only the way I see it. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. And please do what you can with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your community, your city, your state, and your country. Do what you can to reverse the negative trends in your life and turn them into positive movements for the rest of life, yours and others. So thank you again, and tune in next week for Trends This Week. C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi maradare. Figlio mio, accutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a olo, io va, io te viene sempre a calare dal manerene. Se ci picchia quando si è a calare, figlio mio. In my window, it's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand.